Every year, people arrive at base camp in Nepal to fulfill a long life dream, to climb the highest peak in the world, Mount Everest. What was once only achievable by elite mountaineers has now become accessible to thousands of tourists and climbers from around the world. And that's part of the problem. Human activity, coupled with global warming, is having a detrimental effect on Everest's ecosystem, making the ascent unsafe. At an altitude of 5,364 metres above sea level, base camp lies on the Khumbu Glacier. Scientists are warning the glacier is melting at an alarming rate by as much as 1 metre every year.
It's basically melting, it's issue of melting glacier and the crevasses. So a bit worrying that maybe in 10 years, you know, there'll be no more glacier and crevasses.
Climbers and Sherpas say cracks and crevices appear overnight and it's putting their lives at risk. Melted ice is also causing rockfalls and can trigger avalanches in the Himalayas. In an attempt to protect the natural environment, the Nepalese government has decided to move Everest base camp to a new location, and that's roughly 200 to 400 metres lower, where there's no year-round ice.
Certainly, this is the right time to advocate and raise the voice together. And not only talk or raise the voice, we need to sort it out. So, of course, base camp has been very congested. And every year, but definitely there are more than 1,500 people, so the human waste has been polluted.
Around 4,000 litres of urine is dumped at base camp every day. And because climbers spend weeks on the peak adjusting to the altitude, they generate several kilos of waste, most of which is left on the mountain, from fuel used for cooking and heating to empty oxygen cylinders and abandoned camping equipment. All this has created a moral and an environmental debate on the human obsession to scale the tallest mountain in the world. Sara Khairat, Al Jazeera.
So, extreme floods, melting glaciers, extreme heat, all symptoms of a warmer world, according to climate scientists. Danish Mustafa is a professor in critical geography at King's College London. He can take this on with us. Danish, so this situation in Everest and everything else that we've been reporting on in this last hour, all symptoms of the broader problem of global warming and its impacts affecting glaciers and changing the climate around the world.
I think that these are certainly worrying symptoms. And I think a bigger problem is a maladjustment to these symptoms. Mm. I think that the public has a bit of a problematic understanding of science. Science almost never can give you certainties. What it can give you is odds. And climate science can tell us that we are 95% confident, 99% confident, that all the averages that were in the past, all the normal conditions that we were used to in the past, are not going to hold into the future. So if you're getting unprecedented floods in Bangladesh or in China, or if you're getting glacial melt in the high Himalayas, I think it is basically symptomatic that whatever we are used to in the past is not going to continue into the future.
Right.
It's doubly, yeah.
I was just going to say that the trend is the thing, and the trend is gaining momentum, and the trend is looking quite frightening.
Trend is frightening, but equally I would caution about we need longer-term trends, longer-term data, if you will. We certainly, the data for the past 10, 15 years is certainly worrying. And coupled with our understanding of the climate dynamics, we can certainly be fairly confident that, in fact, we are seeing symptoms of that. But the bigger issue is what to do about it.
Right.
Global warming is there. And what to do about it is, at the moment, what we see in Bangladesh or in India or in China or in many other parts of the world is as if following a certain developmental trajectory of building infrastructure, occupation of flood zones, floodplains, promotion of river engineering, fighting against the rivers. Those are sort of 19th century, early 20th century European tropes, which are being replicated at the moment in the global south with potentially catastrophic consequences.
You say we need longer-term data, we need to focus on adaptation, I think is what you're saying. Given everything else
Absolutely.
That's going on in the world, you know, the political polarization, the war in Ukraine and so forth, are we just taking our eye off perhaps the biggest threat of all?
We are absolutely taking our eye off the ball, and I don't even know if we necessarily had our eye on there. Mm. it just seems like there's a whole set of political economic compulsions or ideologies which are driving societies. For example, China poured more concrete in the first 20 years of the 21st century than the United States did in the entire 20th century, following a certain developmental model. Equally, building of dams, building of roads, trying to build levees, trying to hem in rivers the size of Brahmaputra is going to have the kind of consequences that we're seeing at the moment. Floods are not bad in themselves. I mean, after all, human civilization emerged and developed. Some of the most ancient civilizations emerged and developed along floodplains. The point is that when we stop living with floods, and for the past 150 years, we have changed our paradigm of floods from living with floods towards fighting floods. And when you fight floods, you're going to lose. And this is another example of how we have lost. So there's a fundamental paradigmatic reevaluation that needs to take place. And I'm afraid that that sort of reevaluation in the face of climate change is simply not happening.
OK, finally, Danish, and briefly, if you would, it's not only extreme weather events that we're talking about here, it's also how, you know, vegetation belts are moving further northwards. As far as the Northern Hemisphere is concerned, and the implications that has on, you know, migrations of animals and so forth, and indeed food production.
Indeed, I think the evidence is overwhelming, and you basically deny that evidence at your own peril. But turns out that politicians, governments, businesses, and others tend to have a more sort of a monthly, weekly sort of a time horizon, whereas climate change demands a more longer-term time horizon and thinking more strategically. And your society at present is just not geared towards thinking strategically. It keeps thinking tactically in short time steps and looking for immediate return with the sorts of consequences that you're observing.
Danish, great to get your perspective and expertise. Appreciate that. Danish Mustafa talking to us there.
You're welcome.